Welcome to RVing Dads Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1.
Season 2, wow.
So we are happy to be back. My name is Todd Muller. I'm sitting next to my co-host, Dustin Dankins.
Hello.
Dustin, it's great to see you. It's been a while since we've been together, but it's always nice to gather around the fire with you.
Yeah, it's been a whole season.
It has been.
Literally and figuratively. So today we're going to talk about kids, a topic we're all very familiar with.
Yes.
And we have an excellent guest today, Mr. Brandon Cave, the owner of Healy Studios, also the creator of our incredible logo. And he's also an expert on our topic today. He's a father.
Yes.
Right on. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Long time listener, first time guest, first time caller.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
Do you have a website, Brandon?
For yeah. So our Healy Studios website is actually hellohealy.com. And yeah, we do like graphic design, print design, and some different marketing stuff on there. Yeah. So that's us.
Very good. And should we mention our sticker? Since we have an awesome RVing Dad sticker.
We probably should.
We should. And have we given any away since our last episode?
We have.
Okay.
I don't remember who to, but I'm sure we did.
Yeah. I think we should have a contest of slapping them on random cars that drive by.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Where we see kids.
Yeah, where we see kids, yeah. Anyways, so Brandon Cave will be joining us to talk about being a dad today. And
we are sponsored, as always, by Full Time Families. FullTimeFamilies.com. Make sure you check out the website. Check out the Facebook groups. There's a number of events coming up for full-time families. I know they're running some rallies in Canada, down in Albuquerque at the Balloon Festival, in Mexico this coming winter, I believe, in Texas, and they're doing their annual family reunion in Madison, Florida as well. So if you don't know who Full-Time Families is, make sure you check out the website, join the Facebook groups, get used to them. It's a great group to have contact with, especially if you're a family out there traveling.
So we're sitting here around a nice propane fire pit in northern Michigan, actually. Yep. Seems like we end up here a lot.
Yes, we do.
But kids are playing in the background. We're just enjoying the lazy afternoon, and I think we all had a long weekend of RV projects.
I was
installing a outdoor kitchen in my RV, and Todd, you had a whole list of projects.
Yeah, I installed a new countertop, new shelves under the new countertop, took out my oven, put a new sink in, put new carpeting on my slide. Actually, I reinforced my slide with some plywood and put some new carpeting in it, and I put a new water filter in.
Nice. Wow. All in one weekend.
All in 2 days, Saturday and Sunday.
You're making us look bad here.
Right? Yeah. All I did was put a new battery in my Jeep.
Nice. But a good weekend nonetheless. So we're here to talk about kids. Let's talk about kids.
Let's do it.
Todd, why don't you tell us your story? Tell us about your kids. How many do you have? The ages?
Sure. So I actually have 3 kids. My kids right now are 13, 15, and 17. 13-year-old is a boy, 15-year-old and 17-year-old are girls. And we launched about 3.5, almost 4 years ago now. So doing the quick math, they were 9, 11, and 13 when we hit the road. So there was a little different from some people. I had teenagers when we hit the road. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But there was some unique challenges to that.
Brandon, how about you?
I have 3, 7-year-old, 5-year-old, almost 6, and 10 months old.
Wow.
Yeah, 7-year-old girl, 5-year-old boy, and 10 months old.
Very nice. And how old were they when you launched?
Oh, man, you'd put me on the spot like that.
Well, here's the easy question. How long ago did you launch?
4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just over 4 years ago. So, everybody else can do the math.
Okay. Very good. And, of course, yeah, I have 4 kids.
So, and actually, before we jump into that, just in case people who are listening to us talk don't know what we mean when we say launch, launch is when we went full-time. So when we hit the road full-time in our RV and lived out of the RV full-time, that's what we're talking about.
That pivotal moment.
Pivotal moment.
There it is.
There you go.
Okay. So I have 4 kids. They are 6-year-old girl, 10-year-old boy, 12-year-old girl, and a 13-year-old boy. And when I launched 6 years ago, our 6-year-old, believe it or not, was a few months old, like 10 months old, I think. So, and then the other kids were up to 7. I should have brought a calculator for this episode.
Right?
Yeah. But yeah, so I think it's pretty unique that we all have different age kids.
Yeah.
And we launched at different ages. So maybe the first question is, did the age of your kids help you decide what RV was best? Did it affect the RV you bought?
And I know it did for me. When we launched, I needed to have a large space, especially for my older daughter. She needed a room or someplace she could go to just be by herself when she wanted to. So, you know, we've talked about it before. I have about a 41-foot fifth wheel. It's a toy hauler with a garage in the back that we converted into a bedroom. So for us, it was key to have that bedroom in the back where my kids could go and kind of get away from the adults when they needed to. But how about you, Brandon? What did you do?
Yeah, so we've changed rigs since we launched. We had a 37-foot travel trailer when we took off, and which I now know is a really, really long, you know, travel trailer. But part of that was because, yeah, the back portion of that was a opposing slides bunkhouse, and so it gave the kids plenty of space and a huge floor space to play. Right? I mean, they're little kids, so we wanted them to have that place, you know, to be able to play and do their thing, and you know, all the toys and all the mess and everything that goes along with that. So yeah, I would definitely say the kids were a factor in what layout we chose for sure.
Nice. Yeah, when I launched, we launched in a travel trailer as well, and our youngest was less than 1 year old, and she basically got half of the RV. It was a small travel trailer toy hauler, and so the back toy hauler was the baby's room. And we quickly realized that really wasn't feasible because a family of the other 5 of us couldn't live in a half of an RV. But it's interesting having a baby on the road.
Yeah, for sure.
And now my kids are approaching teenager age, so now I'm seeing the other spectrum. Now they need space as well because they're getting long.
Right.
They're tall.
Yep, that's always a factor.
My fridge needs to be bigger. It seems to grow.
Yeah.
I moved to a residential fridge last year. That was a game changer.
So before we get into the bigger kids and the teenagers and the space you need for those, let's go back to the younger kids for just a quick second. You know, as I mentioned, my kids were teenagers when we launched. I know, Dustin, your youngest was 10 months old, but Brandon actually had a baby on the road.
I had a baby on the road. That was not the original plan at all. So we, you know, I don't know if you want me to jump into that story, but
yeah, tell us. This is a pretty interesting story.
We'd been on the road for a few years, and we were actually planning on changing rigs at the time. We were going to completely, like, really downsize, super small travel that way for a couple of years. Like, we were going to build out a custom Sprinter or whatever just to be super small and nimble as we traveled. And we were actually en route. We'd finally found the one we wanted. We were en route to go grab it. And, you know, my wife says, you know, she first asked me, do you think we had just lost 2 dogs? And so she first asked me, do you think we would still, you know, do this plan, this super downsizing plan, if we had the dogs? And I said, yeah, I think we probably would. You know, I think we could manage that. It felt a little crazy already. And then she said, well, do you think we would still do this if we had 3 kids and not 2? I said, no, definitely not, right? Like, no, there's no way. And so she said, well, I think before we go buy the Sprinter, maybe we should stop at Walgreens. You know, I was like, oh, wait, what does that mean? Like, why would we stop at Walgreens? And she's like, yeah, I think we need to grab a test. I was like, whoa, wow. So that was a super surprise for both of us, because 3 years prior to that, I had a procedure that, you know, should have all but prevented that. So that was a super surprise.
And wow.
She's very in tune with her body, and she pretty much knew that, you know, she was expecting, but she couldn't quite accept it because of that, right? Like, she knew, like, it seems impossible, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we made the stop and, you know, the test and got the news, and we're like, okay, this changes everything. So, yeah.
No more Sprinter.
No more Sprinter. But by that time, we had fallen in love with the idea of, you know, motorhome style and all that. And so we made some changes when we got back and welcomed, you know, or planned to welcome, you know, the little one. And that sort of spun us in a whole, you know, different direction for the next year and changed our plans, you know, completely.
And how is the Class C working out with a small child?
We really like the Class C. You know, in general, we ended up getting a bunkhouse Class C. So, you know, the older two had their own bunks for, you know, a long time. And, you know, Lincoln, the baby, you know, he was in sort of like this portable cradle, you know, kind of setup, and that worked for a long time. He's old enough now, we've given him the bottom bunk, and he does well on that. And Nora is sort of in limbo right now. She's kind of, we're making out the couch, but I think we're going to put her more in the, you know, the top cab area, you know, which we have set up as sort of their play area now, up there. So, but, yeah.
Can you just talk a little bit more about the RV itself, like the length and what
yeah.
it is?
So we have a 32-foot Jayco Greyhawk 31FS, which I think you've had Tony on before, and they have basically the same model. We are structured differently inside than the way they do, but it's got, you know, queen bed in the back, the two bunks that are all basically in the same space. The cab over area, and then we remodeled ours and put in a different couch. We took out the stove, we took out the microwave and redid all of that, and the cab over area, reconfigured that space where it's like all their play area and toy chest area and all that. So
that's beautiful. Brandon gave us a tour yesterday of his RV, and it's incredible. I really like the countertops that you did.
Yeah.
And the table, could you talk us through that? That was
yeah,
incredible.
Sure. But my wife absolutely hated the dinette, you know, table that was in there. And so that was when we got it. It's a 2016. So, you know, most people buy a 2016 and you're not going to remodel the inside, right? But we were like, no, like we're going to repaint the whole inside or do all this other stuff. And my wife, yeah, hated the table. And we were taking out the stove, so that left a big gap, you know, in the counter over there. So we actually found a lady on, I think, Craigslist that was selling two table, like, dining room tabletops, and they were perfect. I cut them and I refit, you know, those tabletops where our old tabletops and countertops were, and now we have, like, yeah, hardwood, you know, countertops and stuff in the bath, in the kitchen and in the bathroom too. We redid those as well in there.
It's a great layout. They've done a really nice job. It's beautiful inside. And one of the things I think maybe we should point out for maybe the new time RVers, don't be afraid to renovate. I think all three of us have renovated our fair share of RVs.
Yeah.
You got to make it your home.
Right.
You know, don't sit there in a RV you don't like the layout because you're afraid to rip something out. It's RVs are pretty simple to take apart and put back together. So.
Absolutely. So we've all had kids, our wives have had kids.
Yes.
We've participated. But I feel like having a baby on the road is a completely different experience. Brandon, could you talk us through the experience of having a baby while traveling?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, obviously that was a game changer for us. It wasn't in the plans. You know, I gotta say first, like my wife is, like, she's a stud, right? Like, I'm not kidding. Like momming is ridiculous, like, just on her level. But but then having kids, she knows it all. So she's our first two, it was phenomenal, 100% natural. In a hospital, though, you know, in that setting, and this time, you know, she said, nope, like, I'm doing this all the way that I want to do it, which is, you know, midwife. And, you know, we didn't do home birth. We did consider, like, home birth and all that stuff, but our Class C just wasn't gonna, you know, work for that. So we did it at their birthing center. But so anyway, long story short, we found a doula, who, you know, gave us, you know, some different midwives to work with. We found a great midwife in the Dallas area, which is where we're from. So that, you know, obviously we wanted to get back to what, you know, quote unquote home for us, right? Where family is, and we had that support. And so we found a great midwife there. I'll give her a shout out, Michelle Massey. So if you're looking for a great midwife in the Fort Worth area, she's phenomenal. So we met with her a couple of times early on in the pregnancy. And then she actually, so she gave me some pointers. And so she told me, you know, she showed me like how to measure different things and how to listen for the heartbeat and all that, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we said, now, Michelle, we're like, you know, we're not going to be here for the next few months. Is that okay? And that's sort of why she had taught me that. And so we took off. We were gone for a few months. And we basically did FaceTime appointments with her.
Wow.
Where, yeah, like I would do those measurements. And, you know, Britt had a couple little things that she had to do and, you know, all that. And then, yeah, we do this a FaceTime appointment. Here's the measurements and the specs and whatever, you know.
Now I'm like specs. I'm intrigued. Like, is it just like pulling out a tape measure and like measuring
the
tabletop?
Yeah, no, seriously, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like Britt would lay back and there was a certain point I had to, you know, lay the tape. It's like a fabric tape measure, right? Okay. Lay it and measure to this certain point, and then, you know, there was a certain, whatever the measurement was, I'd tell Michelle, and then she would know, yep, you're right on, you know, right on schedule or whatever.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Okay,
there must have been some pressure there. Like, so, you have to get it perfect, right?
Yeah, I did have to get it, like, get it right perfect. She also taught me how to, like, feel for the baby's head and stuff, you know, which was really weird at first and really hard at first because, like, there's, you know, it's a little tiny baby in there. It got easier, obviously, as the baby got bigger. Yeah. And so, and I could actually feel, okay, this is the head and this is the butt, and I knew which one was which, right?
Wow.
Yeah, so it was... It was a little bizarre.
Sounds like you got a lot of experience now. I want you as my midwife.
You definitely don't want
teach
that.
Me.
Yeah, definitely don't want that. So we traveled out for a few months, and then we got back about a month before, you know, baby was expected, and then had, you know, a few more appointments with Michelle, and then, you know, had the baby there at one of their birthing centers nearby. And so I don't know if you've ever done like a birthing center, you know, for having a baby, but it's completely different from like a hospital. Like, you go there, meet with the midwives, you're there for, it's usually a matter of hours, and then you have the baby and you go home.
Oh, wow.
Like, that night, right? You know, it's really different.
How long after the baby was born did you start traveling again? Did you hit the road again?
So that was, the timing worked really well because typically we'll go back to Dallas-Fort Worth area like over the holidays. So Lincoln was you know, expected mid-October, and I think he appeared on his actual due date, quote-unquote due date, right? And so then we just kind of stayed in the area for a few months over the holidays, which is what we would have done regardless of what the time frame, you know, was. But we kind of stayed stationary in the area around family and had that support level. And of course, there's the big truck going by.
A big semi.
This, right?
Yeah. It's proof that we're really sitting outside by a campfire.
Seriously, yeah, really. Sitting outside, right? Anything can happen. So we stayed there for a few months for that support level. And then I think it was 4 months or so, you know, and then we took off again. So,
So that kind of leads into a good question about appointments. Like, with kids, how do you handle appointments, right? I know we have our ways of handling.
Kids have so many appointments, don't they?
Doctors and dentists and orthodontists and you name it, they all have to go to it, right?
Right.
So, Brandon, we've asked you to talk for a while here, so I'm going to ask Dustin. How about you? How do you guys handle appointments?
How do
like
we
that?
Handle appointments? Well, we tend to do summer in generally the same area in Michigan where we are right now. That's where family's at, and we like to visit family, you know, once a year, and we just delay all of our appointments to that two-month block. So in advance, we schedule all the doctor's appointments, all the dentist appointments, everything that needs to happen, and that works out pretty good. We've had a little wrench thrown in the spokes recently because two of the kids have braces, and they can't wait for once a year. So we've been coming back every few months, whether that be jumping on an airplane and flying a kid here, or, you know, if we're close in a neighboring state, we'll drive up to the appointment. And that's been working okay. It's I guess it's a necessary evil, if you would.
Yeah, and we're very similar. We usually try to schedule our appointments with most of our doctors and dentists, you know, when we're back home in upstate New York visiting family. So we'll do that regularly. One thing we did differently this year is my middle daughter had braces, and this time her orthodontist is in Florida. So we're now residents of Florida, so we try to do as many appointments as we can while we're there in the state, and then otherwise my wife and my daughter have had to fly down to Florida a couple times for appointments. But now we've actually done, similar to you, we've done some FaceTime appointments with the orthodontist, which has been kind of neat. She's been able to look look in my daughter's mouth and make adjustments to the rubber bands and where they go. She's actually changed rubber band sizes while we've been on the road and shipped out what we needed. So
that's great.
Yeah, it was super helpful.
A little tidbit that I learned, if you pick an orthodontist, it helps if you pick one that wants to travel. We learned it's cheaper to fly our orthodontist to where we are if they want to travel it is to get two or three plane tickets and a hotel and a rental car and all that stuff to get my daughter back to an appointment. So working on that.
Right. Well, I will say, when my wife and my daughter went back to Florida for appointments, my wife cheated. She we have Disney passes, annual Disney passes, so they stayed on property at Disney and went to Disney when they were not going to the orthodontist. So they get to make a little fun out of it.
Nice. How do you do urgent appointments? So if there's an urgent problem, would you handle that any differently?
So we've actually done a couple things. Recently, my wife had a case of shingles, which required some attention. So we actually went to a number of urgent care facilities, local ones, which worked out pretty well. Our insurance, we're pretty lucky. Our insurance does cover outside of Florida, so they weren't overly pricey, and she was able to go. But we also have, our insurance company provides Teladoc, so I'm not sure if you ever use that.
I use that all the time, actually.
Yep.
I have the, we've used the Teladoc, we've used RV Health.
I have RV Health as well. Yep.
And others, so it works really good. I think it's almost essential when you have kids and you're not by a known hospital and a known doctor. It's nice to...
It works great.
Yeah, Teladoc is nice. RV Health, we probably should give them a little plug, but rvhealth.com, for those full-time RVers. It's not an insurance program, but it is access to online and phone doctors. So they're really responsive. We've used them quite a few times where you schedule an appointment, they call you in 15 minutes, and you're either on the phone or on video with a doctor, and they're able to help you get prescriptions if you need it, or tell you, you probably need to go to urgent care.
And so you have to use a national chain for prescriptions, right? So we use like CVS, I think, is...
Yep, we use Walgreens.
Walgreens, okay.
Yeah. So sorry, I cut you off there, Brandon. What were you
going
to say?
No, that's okay. We've used Teladoc several times too, and mostly when we just needed that extra little bit of assurance that everything was really okay and this is what we needed to do, right? We have a healthcare sharing plan, really, so our situation is very different, but it works great for us. It works great for traveling, really, because we can really go just about anywhere, and we just submit for that. So that's a whole other episode you guys should probably do, healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare could probably be an entire episode.
Right.
I think we all have some pretty interesting stories there.
Right. Just to throw out there for people that don't have it, but if you ever heard of GoodRx, GoodRx is an app you can get on your phone. It gives you some pretty significant discounts. We found that recently that we can get some prescriptions and so forth quite a bit cheaper with that app. They should probably give us some payment for me saying that.
Yeah, free plug.
Right, a free plug.
They should give us like a discount on service, right?
Right, it's already free. So
I know, we'll need
sure.
it. Very good. Well, let's, shall we shift gears a little bit and talk about, since we're talking about kids, I think the most common question asked about RVing and kids is, how do your kids socialize?
That's a big one.
It is a big question. I like to have like a really smart comment, but... or like a smart comeback, but it usually fails me. What's your answer, Todd, when someone asks you how do your kids socialize?
So actually, I think our kids get to have a lot of socialization. We actually, part of our travel style is to meet up with other families and friends that we have and other family members across the country. So this is a good example. So my family and I are here visiting Dustin and his family. We've been here for 2 weeks. We're here for another week. So all of our kids have been playing that whole time. They've slept out and, out of doors, I guess we would call it.
Yeah, they've camped.
They've camped outside.
Which is funny because people think we're camping.
Right. But they're really camping. They're outside. Really camping. My kids actually, when we're here and when we're with other families, tend to get up earlier because they just want to get out and play. So they spend a lot of time outdoors. And then
it's great. I never see my kids. They're all playing. They don't need my attention all the time.
Yep, you're having a blast. And then Brandon's been here, and it's been great. His kids are a little bit younger than my kids, but my kids enjoy playing with Brandon's children as well.
I was going to say, that's the great thing. I feel like, you know, my kids play well with kids of, you know, pretty much any age, right? I think, you know, they don't go to public school, which is weird. We run into that age barrier, I feel like, you know, like everybody, like, oh, they're in third grade, I'm in fifth grade, we don't, you know, we don't need to talk right. to each other, and there's not that age barrier that's going on, so they run out and play, and, you know, whoever they play with, is it doesn't matter, you know.
Right.
Yeah, they make friends so fast.
Yeah. The amount of time that Brandon, your children, and Dustin's youngest have spent on that trampoline over there.
Right.
It's incredible.
Wearing that thing out, right?
Yeah, they're trying to jump through it.
Yeah. My daughter is actually, when we first took off, she was really reserved and shy and timid. I really feel like traveling has really opened her up, and she's much more open to conversations with, like I said, anybody. And whereas before, she wouldn't talk to anybody, really, you know. Dad would have to go over and start the conversation and introduce her and maybe push her a little bit, you know, which I was never really comfortable with either. Like, I don't want to push her into situations, you know, that she's not comfortable with. But she's opened up quite a bit since we started traveling.
I like how my kids kind of handle their own problems. With, you know, they meet the other kids, right? They kind of introduce themselves. They eventually decide they want to play something, and they figure it out, and they do it all by themselves. They don't need a parent to kind of nurture them through that. They're able to handle that at such a young age.
Yep.
All those social interactions, and I don't think I could do that when I was younger.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know my kids in general are more reserved. They don't tend to come out a lot unless we kind of force them out of the RV, but they have a group of friends they made on the road, you know, Dustin's kids included, and other children they've met where they're really up for it. And I think the same thing. I don't think they would have had those friends because, you know, they had met the people when we lived in a house. They had kind of met the local kids, and they didn't really get along, and they probably would have spent most of their time indoors.
It's been great, actually. Netflix has not been turned on in my house in 2 weeks. It's a record, I think. No TV for the last 2 weeks, which is incredible. And no one's complaining because the kids are here. They're having fun, and Legos and Dungeons and Dragons and trampoline. And
four-wheelers. And
they've been making forts and having a ton of fun. So.
Yep, for sure. Right, so another big topic when you're talking about kids, of course, is school. I hear that question a lot. You know, you travel full time. What do your kids do? How do they go to school?
How do they learn?
Right. How do they learn?
Aren't they going to be dumb? Is that the question?
Right. Obviously, we all homeschool, but why don't you tell us a little about your homeschooling, Dustin?
Okay. Yeah. So, is it called homeschooling or road schooling or RV schooling?
RV schooling.
We call it road schooling.
Road schooling for you. Okay.
That's a pretty common term, I think. Right.
Homeschooling. Yeah. Yeah. It depends. So, we do homeschooling, of course, in our family. When we started, so obviously, you know, things have progressed over the last 6 years for us. When we started, it was very rigid. You know, we came from a public school background, and so naturally, we wanted to just follow the just keep that trend going. You know, this kid's in fifth grade and they have to do this work and this book and this date. But we quickly learned that we didn't have to do that. In fact, we could do maybe what's better for the kid, not. And so our homeschooling methodology is kind of to identify what the kid needs to focus on and what the best method for that kid. And so that's kind of our philosophy, is individual studies for individual kids, and focus on their strengths and their weaknesses.
Right. And, in a second, I'm going to ask Brandon, because he obviously has younger kids who are just getting into school. So before we get into that, I'll talk a little bit about what we do. We kind of hit the road with a very kind of unschooling mentality, where it was, you know, the kids are going to learn no matter what we do. So, you know, we always spend a lot of time at state parks and national parks and science centers and so on and so forth for the kids, but we also, you know, do some online things. We do MobiMax and Time for Learning and a couple other things. When we moved, or when we officially changed our residency from New York to Florida, my two oldest girls take online school through Florida Virtual Public Schools, which is pretty neat. You know, they have a teacher, they do all the things a a student does. They have papers they have to write, they have quizzes they have to take. So they've really enjoyed that. My son's just about to start some of that now as well. And my oldest daughter has been dual enrolled, so she's actually been in high school classes along with college. So it's been nice for her. She really enjoys that. And you know, by the time she turns 18 and graduates from high school, she'll be really close to having her associate's degree as well, which will give her a little head start, which is always a nice thing. But that's kind of the older kids. But so I think Brandon, you're coming into it now. Your kids are just getting old enough now where you're really starting to get into this.
They're getting old enough now where we're starting to feel like, okay, maybe we should be doing something with more of a real curriculum. You know, my wife, I will say, has handled most of, I would say, 90%, 95% of, you know, the schooling side of things. And that has, up to this point, been more of, you know, math and reading and grammar, you know, just some of those basics, you know, getting them in that foundation. So I think she's used basically some all-in-one workbook type stuff that we've found here or there and worked through those things. And you know, they're doing really well. Our daughter reads incredibly. And so this year, actually, we're planning on doing something more of an online curriculum. Time for Learning, actually, is what we've kind of landed on, at least to try for this year and see how that goes. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. And I think it's going to work okay and follow that. And like I said, it's more about long term. It's more about their interests. And, you know, we're very entrepreneur minded, and I want to, you know, more nurture that, and I want them to go that direction. So whatever that interest level is, or whatever, you know, they feel like that may lead. So that's where I want them to go.
It is all about interest, and I think that's really the great thing about living in an RV is our environment changes so frequently, and so it's one thing to learn about, you know, a battle or, you know, a historical event. It's another to actually be there and see the location, and
yep.
And so I think that's been our focus lately, is to put some context to the learning. Right. So if we're going to the grocery store, we can make that a learning event. Mm-hmm. You can learn about counting and math and economics and all these great things, supply and demand.
Right.
Just by a simple action of going to the grocery store.
Yep. So we're constantly looking for those teachable moments. Mm-hmm. You know, along those lines. You know, we went down to the Keys and visited the Dolphin Center down there in the Keys, and my daughters fell in love with dolphins and the research and all those things. And, you know, that may be something that grows from there, and, you know, she turns into marine biology or dolphin study or whatever, but that hasn't left, you know. It's like we're months away from that, and she still speaks of that. So.
Yeah, that's always it's a great part of the traveling. One of my favorite things is when we're at a science center, or we're at state park, or we're learning about something, and one of my kids look at me and go, "Wait a minute, are we learning?" They really seem annoyed by it.
They finally caught on.
Right, that they've been tricked into learning.
Right. Yeah, we do the, you know, like many RVers do, families, we do the Junior Ranger programs at all the national parks, which is awesome. You know, if you don't know about that, it's you can go into pretty much any national park, and they have a book. You go in there, you can ask for the book, and go through that book, and there's different, you know, things in there that you need to do depending on age level. And then you go, and they, you know, swear you in as a junior ranger. You get a little badge, and, you know, our kids love it. And yeah, it's one of those, like, are we learning things?
Right.
Yeah, like, yes, you are. Yeah. You know, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, junior rangers is great. My kids probably have, no exaggeration, 50 badges or so.
Yeah.
From all these different places. And actually, just recently, and this isn't kid related, but they actually took the age requirement off junior ranger badges. So you can be any age. So this past year, my parents, who are a little older, came out to meet with us, travel with us. They actually came out, and we went through Bryce Canyon and Zion and a couple other places in Utah, all the way down to Las Vegas. But as we were traveling, you know, my 75-year-old mother did the junior ranger badges with my kids.
Yeah, nice. That's funny.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. My wife's mom just did that too.
Oh, yeah. She did.
JFK birthplace. She was there. She did the junior ranger badge.
Yeah,
that's great. And we just we went to Canada recently, and they have a similar program in Canada. They're not pin like badges. They're actually like dog tags.
Oh,
so
cool.
Each park has a different color and name dog tag. So, yeah, I think my kids absolutely love all the programs. You learn so much.
Yep, absolutely.
And the science centers, too. That's a big one for us.
Yeah.
Like field trips. I think field trips are a big part of our education, like hands-on stuff, whether it be a museum or a field trip to a science center. We love that.
Speaking of that really quick, those memberships, you know, make that very affordable as you're traveling. ASTC. And
where do we learn about all those? Like, where would you point someone to learn all about that?
I would point them to Full-Time Families. Head right to the Full-Time Families website, and just like Brandon mentioned, there are more information about those memberships.
I think there's a blog post specifically about, you know, museum memberships and things on Full-Time Families. So, yeah, great resource there.
Yep. And really what it comes down to is you can buy one single membership for a pretty low price, and it gets you entrance to hundreds of museums across the country.
Yeah, that's great.
And science centers.
And so one final comment on this, Todd, on this topic, is I think my kids are way better off homeschooling in this setting than they were in the public school system. But I'll also say that I think I'm getting smarter because I'm so much more engaged with my kids' education.
Right.
You know, you have to relearn all these topics, but then you have to learn how to teach it to someone and how to engage. And I think it's making our family smarter.
Yeah, overall, I think it has as well. You know, we focus a lot on character as well. So, you know, I've been able to get involved with that side of things, you know, beyond just a academic level, right? Yeah.
Right. And I feel like I have to qualify something because something that Brandon said earlier when he gave his wife credit, and I have to give my wife credit too, because while I can talk a good game, she really is the one that lays down the curriculum and really is...
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, our wives are our rock stars here, and we're supporting
along for
them.
The ride.
Yeah.
right.
I may drive the RV,
what she's
but...
right. I drive the RV, but my wife drives everything else.
So we're all families, we're traveling around the country with our kids, we're learning, we're going to all these great events. One of the things I struggle with, though, is remembering all these great activities. So, Brandon, I think you have something, actually, that could help a lot of families remember.
Yeah, so, like, shameless plug. kids are having a blast. I call it the ultimate RV logbook, and it's basically, you know, a book where you can take that with you, and as you hit these different campgrounds, or, you know, if it's a boondocking spot or whatever it might be, you just go in there and, you know, you log either GPS coordinates or the campground name or whatever that might be, and you make some, you know, make whatever notes about it. And I mean, those, I actually have sort of check boxes that you kind of go through, anything from, you know, was it a bumpy road coming in, to did I have AT&T signal or Verizon signal? Right. How was all that stuff?
It sounds necessary. So where do I get it?
Yeah. So you can actually get it on Amazon. That's the easiest way. Just go to Amazon.com and search the Ultimate RV Logbook.
Okay.
And it'll come up, and there's like a couple of different versions actually there. There's like a leather cover version. There's another version where there's like camping looking things on the cover. And there's actually a Full-Time Families version.
Oh.
So there's a few different options there, you know, to get that. So, I've got a lot of great feedback from other RVers on it, you know, of how effective it's been in traveling and keeping up. One of the great things we did in it is you can go through and each spread has its own number. So like you might be on number 22, right? So then you can go in the back, there's sort of a reference area, and you can go to say Wisconsin and write down 22. So then 3 years later, you're coming back to Wisconsin and you just pull up that book and go, okay, number 22 is it. You flip over to 22
nice.
And say, oh, that's the spot we stayed in.
Okay. You know? Perfect. So we've all heard it here.
Yep.
Amazon.com, the Ultimate RV Logbook.
There you go.
I can see how that would be incredibly useful. I don't know how many times I say to my wife, where was that place we were at again? Where was that?
Yeah.
So
if we had a book that we could look into.
Yeah.
Yep.
But speaking of Full-Time Families.
Yes, as always, I mentioned it earlier, I'll mention it again. We are sponsored by Full-Time Families, an incredible resource. If you are a family and you're thinking about traveling, or if you already are traveling, you know, check out fulltimefamilies.com. Join the Facebook groups. I think they're on Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, you name it, they're all over the place. But definitely check out all the resources that are available there.
Perfect. Well, just want to thank everyone for listening to this episode, and we hope you hear from us again soon.
Yep. Like Dustin said, we are thrilled you listened. We hope you listen again. And as always, we hope you found some value in this podcast, if only for entertainment.